This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the second chapter, verse 4, as Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus. He expresses the fact that he knows their works, their labor, their patience. But he said, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You know, there's something about human nature that finds excitement in something that is novel or new. Yet there is also something about human nature that the novelty of any experience, it seems, can wear off rather rapidly. And so the excitement and the thrill of the novel or the new can change after a period of time and is no longer there. That new sports car that you were yearning for so many years, lusting after, the day it finally became yours, can you remember the thrill when you first put the key into the ignition and you turned it and you heard that old engine turn over and then you rev the thing up and, oh, you know, this is a thrill, this is a joy that's going to last forever. Nothing can ever take away the joy and the thrill of owning this car. You kept a dust rag in the glove box, and before you'd go anyplace, you'd always dust the thing off. Man, it looks like it came right out of the showroom every time you drove down the street. You'd park in the remote area of the parking lots that were empty so that no one would, you know, pull up beside you to park and accidentally open their door against the side. Or if you were forced to park closer, you'd try and find two slots and you'd park sideways to protect that car. It was a prize. It was a joy. It was a thrill. Nothing was ever going to change the thrill and the joy of having this car. But time, as it does to all things, the newness wore off. Now you get the thing washed occasionally at the car wash. You might even leave it out overnight if you've forgotten and didn't park it in the garage. Oh, well, you know, one night won't hurt. And you're even thinking about trading it in because you've got your eye on a new model that is sharp, sharp, sharp. Time, how it alters our feelings towards things. We have an expression, romantic love. It usually lasts between 1 and 6 months after the honeymoon. But you know, when you're going together, you have the feeling that, oh man, ours is different. This love, oh, tell you, it's never going to change. The feeling that I have is going to last forever. I remember when the minister was counseling Kay and I before we were married. And he was saying, now, as your lives are blended, you're going to have adjustments to make. And some of these adjustments are going to be hard, and you're going to have disagreements. And I squeezed her hand because he didn't understand what kind of love we had. Man, ours was different. We were never going to have any disagreements. I mean, we liked everything alike. The same kind of music, the same kind of food. There would never be any disagreements that could come along to mar this excitement and thrill and joy that we had and this love that we shared. I sort of felt sorry for the minister never having experienced this kind of love that we had. But you know, he was right. Disagreements did come. Sure, we liked the same kind of food, but we didn't always want to eat it at the same kind of places. Or I may not have been as hungry as she was and felt like I had to eat right now. And so those adjustments came. And this morning when I went to kiss her goodbye, and of course, you know, this great excitement would never leave. But when I went to kiss her goodbye and that little electrical spark popped on our lips, I said, "Don't kiss me, just go." And my heart was broken and dashed after this many years. You know, I was always going to go around and open the door for her. But it's a lot faster and more convenient if we just both get out and go in, you know, simultaneously now. Time. It has a way of dulling the excitement and the thrill that one experienced when it was a new and novel experience. Of course, this is the whole fallacy of that extramarital little affair. Because that same illusion begins to build up in our minds. Oh, this is it. Oh, my. You know, this is the love of the century. You know, no love was ever like this love. Nobody, even my wife, doesn't understand me like she understands me. And the whole illusion of this thing, you think, oh, this is what I've really longed for. This is what I really wanted. Oh, I made a mistake when I married my... What a stupid lie of the enemy. What a trap that is. It's just because it's novel. It's just because it's new. A lot of times, the most just thing that can happen is that you marry that person and you learn the misery of living with them in these extramarital affairs. You think it's going to be so exciting, so thrilling, so wonderful, and hey, life is life, and the newness wears off, the excitement goes, and we have to settle down to the reality of adjusting and blending two lives into one. We see it in a child with his toys. You know, that new bike, you think they're never going to get off the thing. And they bring it home, and they put it in the garage, and they're so careful with it, and they're, you know, shining the spokes and oiling the chain. But in time, you have to say, put your bike in the garage. If you leave it outside, someone might steal it. Oh, do I have to? Yes, you have to. Now go out and put it away, you know. The novelty, the newness is gone. But you know, God doesn't ever want the novelty and the thrill and the excitement of your relationship with Him to wear off or to die down. In the Old Testament, through the prophet, God cried to the nation of Israel. And He said, I can remember when you first followed me into the wilderness, that time when you first discovered my glory and my power and my love, I remember how that you were always talking about me. Every time you get together with your friends, you were talking about me. Oh, you had beautiful graffiti all over the camp, holiness unto the Lord. In fact, you even put your bumper stickers on your horses. Holiness unto the Lord. God rules, you know, Jehovah rules. But God said, what did I do wrong? What iniquity did you find in me? Where did I fail? That you don't have this same devotion and love for me that you once had. And God was crying. He was saying, what happened? What did I do? How did I offend you that you would turn away from me and no longer feel this fervency and this great excitement in your love for me? And God was crying out to Israel for a love that had been left. And now we find in the New Testament, Jesus takes up the very same cry. In talking to his church of Ephesus, he said, oh, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know you have discernment and all. But he said, what I long for is love. And I have this against you because you have left your first love. That first love where you were so excited with the things of God and the things of the Spirit. Where your heart was just overflowing. And you could hardly wait to get to church every time the doors were open. You were standing outside reading your Bible, waiting for the doors to open so you could get a front row. And your heart was so turned on to the things of the Spirit. Plastered bumper stickers all over your car. And you just were all excited. Your little notepad you'd fill up with little love notes to Jesus. That first love. And Jesus is saying, I have this against you. You've left that first love. He doesn't want your relationship with him to ever become mechanical. He doesn't want the motions without the emotions. And that was the problem with the church of Ephesus. They had become a Martha church, and he was looking for a Mary relationship with them. For you remember the story how that Jesus had visited the two sisters, Martha and Mary. And how that Martha was busying herself trying to get the refreshments together and get everything all tidied up and all right. And Mary just sat down at the feet of Jesus and just opened up and communed with him. And was just sharing and just having this beautiful time sharing with him. And finally, Martha, exasperated, called in and said, Lord, would you send Mary in to help me? She's just sitting there and I have to do all the work. And Jesus said, oh, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about so many things. But Mary has chosen the better part and it's not going to be taken away from her. You know, so many times we think we can substitute works for love. I'll do this for God. I'll do that for God. Oh, I'll, you know, give to the church or something, you know. And we're trying to substitute works. And God doesn't want that kind of a relationship with you. God wants a loving relationship with you. That's what Jesus is longing for. A loving relationship with you. And that's the thing he's crying out to Ephesus, because they had left that first love. Oh, they were still working. They were still doing the things, but they weren't loving. Now, the remedy that Jesus gave to them was, first of all, remember from whence you have fallen. Remember those first days when you first discovered the love of God towards you in Christ Jesus. The thrill of realizing that your sin and your past was all blotted out. And that hope and joy, hey, I'm going to spend my eternity with him in his glorious kingdom. And that excitement and that thrill that you had over the things of God and over the things of the Spirit. Remember, he said, that love that was once there, that excitement and thrill that was once there. And then he said, repent. Now, repent is much more than just being sorry. Repenting is being sorry enough that you change. Now, we have a little granddaughter who is capable of doing some very naughty things. And she can say, I'm going to hit you. I don't like you. I'm going to pinch you. And sometimes she does pinch me. And I'll say, that hurt, honey. You shouldn't pinch Grandpa. That makes Grandpa feel very sad and he wants to cry. And she says, sorry. And if ever she does anything wrong and you correct her, she'll just say, sorry. And that's supposed to just take care of everything. And it does. In fact, it works so well, I tried it on my wife. And when she said, don't you ever put anything in my dryer again, I said, sorry. She said, no, I mean it. Don't you ever. And somehow it just didn't work for me. But true repentance isn't just being sorry. It's manifested in the change. And it isn't a true repentance until there is the change. So it is sorry enough that you don't do it again, or sorry enough that you change. So the Lord is calling for us to repent, to change from this coldness and aloofness that may have developed in our relationship with Him. And then He's calling for us to return and to repeat our first works over. So He said, do your first works over. Get back into the Word. Back into reading the Word on a daily basis for your devotions and for your strength. Back into fellowship with Him. Back into writing love notes to Him. He's missed those love notes. He loved it when you fancy printed praise the Lord. I love Jesus. Return to your first works. There is a law of psychology that said if you act out a motion, you'll get the corresponding emotion. And so Jesus is saying, go back to your first works. For if you'll go back to these first things, soon you'll find that excitement and that thrill and that love being rekindled within your heart, and that relationship then restored in such a beautiful way. You know, it is interesting how that the process of drifting away is so subtle that it is almost imperceptible. In Hebrews, we are warned that we should take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. Good word to use, because drifting is almost an imperceptible process. And that's the way it seems that it happens to the things of God. We just sort of drift away. I have a hard time putting my finger on it or pointing out where it happened, but just we sort of drifted away. On a Sunday evening, we said, oh, well, let's not go to church tonight. So we just sort of drifted away from the habit of going to church on Sunday evening or on Thursday evening or those things that we used to do and had such thrill in doing them, such excitement because I was so thrilled with what God was and what God had done, and the love was burning bright. But somehow just sort of drifted drifted away. And we've become sort of a take it or leave it. But Jesus said, no, 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 it isn't a take it or leave it. If you don't return, if you don't repent, if you don't change, he said, or else, you do this, or else, I'm going to come unto you quickly, and I'm going to move the candlestick out of its place. Now, as we go back to chapter 1, we find John saw the vision of the seven golden candlesticks, and Jesus was walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. They represented the churches, and so Jesus walking in the midst of his church, or the presence of Jesus with his people. And that's what he is warning. I'm going to remove my presence from you. He is never satisfied with just works. He wants love. He wants a commitment of love. He doesn't want that love to wane or to grow cold or to die out. He doesn't want the thrill of his touch upon your life to ever become old hat. But he wants that always there will be that freshness, that excitement, that thrill. Whenever he touches me, I tingle with excitement. He loves me. Now, if in your experience with walking with the Lord, you can look back in your life and see a time when you were more excited about him than you are today, when you were more committed to him and the things of his Spirit than you are today, then you are in a backslidden state. And Jesus is speaking to you as he spoke to the church of Ephesus. And he said, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember what it used to be like. Repent and do your first works over. Repeat. Nothing other than a full-on loving relationship will do. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that your love for us is constant. It is unchanging. It never fails. Lord, help us today to experience afresh touch of your Spirit and the touch of your love upon our lives, that this will be the most exciting day we have ever had walking with you because of the love that we share and that we have for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this message is one that I would hope applied to nobody here today. I would hope that your walk and relationship with the Lord is so fresh, so rich, that, you know, the message just, well, good for someone else, but sure doesn't fit me. I would hope that that would be the case. But unfortunately, I know that it isn't the case. I know that it is a message that applies to many of you. And I would encourage you to respond to the word of Jesus. Remember what it used to be like, your walk and relationship with him. And repent that somehow you drifted away. Somehow you allowed the cares of this life or the deceitfulness of riches or the lust of other things to choke out that beautiful relationship that you once had with him. And may you come back. May you return to that full, rich love for him, in him, with him. May God be with you and bless you. And may this be the most exciting week you've ever had, loving Jesus and living for him.